You. Isaiah 45, and look down at verse 15. Isaiah 45, 15. Truly you are God who hide yourself, O God of Israel, the Savior. He is a God who would hide himself. That's Scripture that says that. Look down at verse 19. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Note the word in verse 19, seek. He says, I didn't say seek me in vain. So in verse 15, we have the word hide, that God hides. In verse 19, we have the word seek. He wants people to seek him. So the title is going to be hide and seek. That's it. Now, of course, I couldn't put this into writing. I just had to say seeking him. But you get the idea. Hide and seek. And since our brother is always bringing us in with Christmas songs, there you go. Wise men still seek him. It's continuing on with the Christmas theme. There are several principles of this matter of God hiding and man seeking that I'd like to go over with you tonight. The first one being, and these are important principles to remember about seeking God. The first principle is that God is a person and not a thing. God is a person and not a thing. Why is this important? Why should we think about this? You see, how do you get to know a thing? You get to know a thing the way you get to know subjects in school. If you have a large enough mind, if you have enough resources, if you have a big enough lab, you can get to know things. When we want to get to know the cell in the human body, we use microscopes. We use X-ray crystallography. I don't know what it is. I know the word. We use all kinds of detailed instruments and methods to get to know things, right? Does the cell have a say in whether you get to know it or not? The cell has no chance, no say, no nothing. We get to know it. Can an atheist get to know the cell? Yes. Can a believer get to know the cell? Can a selfish person get to know the cell? Can a charitable person get to know the cell? It doesn't matter what attitude you come with. It doesn't matter what kind of a person you are. It doesn't matter what your beliefs are. If you have the lab that is advanced enough and the brain that is big enough, you can get to know that cell, right? The cell is a thing. We get to know atoms the same way, and we throw them in these crazy machines that burst them into pieces, and we get to know the atom, whether the atom wants to be known or not. We get to know things, whether they want to be known or not. But is God a thing? No, he is a person. And we only get to know people when they choose to reveal themselves. You can get to know about all of the cells in my body under your microscopes, but you will not get to know me unless I choose to reveal myself. And you remember, I said that anybody can get to know a cell if they have a brain big enough and a lab advanced enough. Is that true of God? Is it true that God might choose to reveal himself to some and not others? Or is it that God, even though he is a person, he acts like a thing and is simply there to be gotten, to be known by anybody? Well, we'll hopefully answer this patiently and correctly as we go along, but this is a very important question, right? Does God have a say in who gets to know him, or does he act just like a thing, and he's out there for anybody to know him if they have a brain big enough to do the job? Well, so the first principle is God is a person and not a thing. Let's go on to the second principle, which is really the answer to the question I just posed. That is, God does, in fact, engage in selective revelation. That means that God does indeed reveal himself to some and not others. Now, don't worry, it's not unfair. We're going to see that in a minute. But for now, he does it. Let's look at the first verse in Matthew 11. Matthew 11. Does God engage in selective revelation? Matthew 11, look down at verse 25. Matthew 11 and verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. According to these verses, does God engage in selective revelation? Yes. Let's try another one. That one might apply more to unbelievers. Here's one that could even apply to believers. But anyway, John 14. We're just seeking the principle. John 14. And verse 21. John 14, 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. God will choose to reveal himself to someone, but not necessarily everyone. Now, this is a little tricky. How do you reveal yourself to some and not to all? Suppose I wanted to tell you a secret message right now, and I only wanted half of you to understand it. How will I do it? Because if I speak, it goes to everyone, right? So this is the question Judas asked in verse 22. Judas, it's not the Iscariot one, the other one, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. That's how he will do it. He's not going to reveal himself on a billboard. He's going to reveal himself on individual levels and come to this one and to that one and not to others. So far, if this is true, what should we find when we look out there in the world? We should find that there are people who say, I know him, I know he's real, I know he's true, and I believe on him. And we should find other people who are saying, I don't get it. What are these people talking about? I don't see him, I don't understand him, I don't know him. And that, in fact, is just what we see. God engages in selective revelation. There are a couple of verses we looked at. I put et cetera because there are more we could. Now, this makes me a little bit uncomfortable for a moment. It's like, well, wait a minute. What about these poor people he doesn't reveal himself to? If he reveals himself to some and not others, where's the fairness in that? Well, here's where it comes. And that is that God promises that all who seek with all their heart will find him. In other words, we can choose whether or not he will reveal himself to us. And we can do something about it. And that invitation is open to some or all. It's open to anybody. We have a lot of these. I would actually like us to turn to these. Sometimes I just mention that they're out there in Scripture and we don't turn to them. I want us to do it this time. So let's get our fingers moving quickly. Deuteronomy 4, I just want us to see that this is a principle that runs through the Word of God. Deuteronomy 4, quickly. Charge. Now we're Deuteronomy 4 and verse 29. But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. Those who find will find. 1 Chronicles 28. Samuel King's Chronicles. First Chronicles 28, look down at verse 9, the second part of the verse. 2 Chronicles 28, 9, second part of the verse. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. 2 Chronicles 15. Second Chronicles 15 and verse 2, the middle of the verse. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Zechariah. Now, if I'm asking you to turn to them quickly, why did I settle on one in Zechariah? But let's do it anyway. Zechariah. Chapter 1, Zechariah 1 and verse 3. Zechariah 1, 3. Therefore say to them, thus says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. This one we won't turn to because I think we have most of us have it memorized. James 4, 8. You don't know you have it memorized, but you do, because I'm going to start it and you're going to finish it. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. We have these verses. It's a principle that runs beyond just the verses that we looked at. This is a general principle of the Word of God, that you will find him when you seek for him with your whole heart. And you know, the complaint of the atheists, and we had a Bible study at the University of Maryland at one time, and we had an atheist come for quite a while. She started out to be a real big arguer. After a while, she found out we weren't just all crazy and nuts and everything, and she actually kind of liked the study and was quite reasonable in terms of being quiet and listening and maybe asking some inquiring questions once in a while to clarify things. I wish I could say I saw her start to soften. I didn't see it. I mean, she softened in her attitude. I mean, she wasn't so, you know, so in your face and so on. In that sense, she softened. But I don't think her heart was softening as far as I could see. But the problem is the atheists come and say, where is God? Show me the evidence. You say you know God. I don't know God. I don't see him. So show him to me. Well, that is not the attitude that God says needs to be fulfilled in order for him to reveal himself. God engages in selective revelation, and he says, I'm going to show myself and reveal myself to those who seek for me with all their heart. And if they do, they will find me. Now, that's a fair statement because it's open to all. And who among us cannot seek for him with all their heart? It doesn't matter what your capacity is, right? You could be a Nobel Prize winning kind of brain, or you could have maybe not so much. But everybody can seek him with their whole heart, right? At whatever level that is. Now, in the Bible, we have not only the principle stated in the words of God, we have it stated in examples. Everyone who genuinely sought the Lord found him. Let's try some examples. The wise men, they were seeking the Lord, weren't they? Did they end up finding him? Yeah. The Ethiopian eunuch, was he seeking the Lord? Did he end up finding him? Yes. Cornelius was seeking the Lord. Did he end up finding him? He says, see, you're going to get 5 out of 5. I have a good feeling about this. Zacchaeus was seeking the Lord. Did he end up finding him? Yes. And Mary Magdalene, remember when she was seeking the Lord? And she ended up finding him. Not only by principle and doctrine in the Word of God, but by example after example, we have it clear. Now, so the next principle is the one up there, that all in the Word who genuinely sought him found him. But now comes maybe even a more interesting statement, and that is that they did not find him by being good seekers. He made sure they found him, right? I mean, how did God make sure that he was found? Remember, you don't have to be a great seeker. You just have to seek with all your heart. God is good at losing the game of hide and seek. So the wise men were seeking him. Did they find him? Yes. How did they find him? God gave them a star. The Ethiopian eunuch was seeking him, and he found him. But how did he find him? God sent Philip, right, to have split-second timing to get right to him while he was reading Isaiah 53. That's the kind of witnessing I'd like to do. What you're reading? Huh? I'm reading about this one who sacrificed himself for me. Can you tell me about it? Cornelius, he was seeking the Lord and he found him. But how did he find him? God sent Peter. God, in fact, had to do all, he had to kick Peter into going, but he got Peter there. And Zacchaeus was seeking, right? And he was seeking with all his heart. He's not going to be denied. This little guy will do whatever it takes. Climbing up a tree. But it was really the Lord who found him, right? And then Mary Magdalene, the same way. Was she the best seeker in the world? She was the first one to see the Lord after his resurrection. Was it because she was a better seeker than all the rest of them? It was because the Lord revealed himself to her. That's how she found. So by principle of Scripture, everyone who seeks finds. By example in Scripture, everyone who seeks finds. And we understand that God ensures that they will find. But there are plenty of cases of seeking and finding today. Young man, he's younger than I am, so he's young. A young man back east was at the age of 15 in a particular religion. This religion was one that did not teach the true gospel. He somewhat randomly was just kind of thinking during a service and began to think about eternity. And he got very scared when he thought about this because he thought of himself, and for some reason he knew he would not be with God and he knew he would be alone. That's what really was getting him. He knew that in eternity he was going to be alone. And this kind of shook him. And he really didn't know what to do about it. He hated the thought. So in answer to this dreadful thought and problem, he dealt with it by pushing God out of his thoughts and decided that he'll just believe that God didn't exist, even though maybe deep down inside I think he may still have. But he wanted to put the idea out of his mind, and he did not want to think about eternity. Now, how do you not think about something? It's really hard to do. But he did not want to think about eternity. And the way out that he found was from the time he woke up to the time he went to bed, he would constantly be doing something. Whether it was the video game or the headphones with the music or whatever, there was something always going on in his mind to keep him distracted from thinking about eternity. He lived like this for over 2 years. It wasn't until it was his first year in college, actually, when he met some true believers. Now, he had pushed God out of his mind and decided he wasn't going to believe in this. But he looked at them, and they had such peace. And he envied their peace, their calmness about eternity. And after getting to know them a little bit, and they talked to him about the Lord, he decided, well, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. So at that, the University of Maryland, they have a very long Christmas break. So he said, well, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take Christmas break, and I'm going to get to the bottom of this whole thing. So he got himself a Bible, and he started reading in Genesis. He read and looked up every cross-reference as he read. Do you know how long that takes? But this was the way he figured you're supposed to read. You see, he sees all these cross-references. He figures he's going to read them. He made it through Genesis. He made it through Exodus. He made it through Leviticus. Right, he needs one of those prizes that the Josiahs are giving out. He came to Deuteronomy chapter 4, and he read the verse that we looked at that said, you will find me when you seek for me with your whole heart. And for the first time in reading the Bible, he came to a verse where he knew God was talking to him. And he understood that he is to take that promise to himself, that he's going to find him if he keeps doing this, if he keeps seeking for him. He will find him. So he kept reading, and he did not perceive another message from God, if you will, all the way until the book of Isaiah, when he was reading about a virgin shall conceive and so on. And he understood, when he read that, he understood that whatever this is the answer. This is the answer that he's looking for. I'm sure he probably had some background to the story of Christ's birth, but anyway, And at that point, it was great. He thought he was saved, you know. He's like, you know, he goes to his friends, you know, he's like, I'm saved, you know. And first he tells them about the Deuteronomy thing, you know, and they're like, well, you're not saved. And he tells them about the Isaiah thing later on, you know, and they're like, a couple more questions. Yeah, you're not saved, you know. So anyway, he keeps reading. But anyway, eventually he made it somewhere in Ezekiel, I think, but ended up talking to some people at the local church there in Maryland, who kind of put him on the faster track, if you will, and he was saved, gloriously saved. And but he found. How did he find? It was open to him, wasn't it? The opportunity was open that he would seek with his whole heart, and he found. Jabe Nicholson talks about getting his hair cut by Delilah. You may have heard the story. He went out, he said it going out, I'm going to see Delilah, kind of as a figure of speech, because he was going to get his hair cut. Sits down, this place, what's your name? Delilah, she says. And so she says, yeah, I guess I was born to cut hair. And in typical Jabe fashion, he's like, well, actually, in the account, she calls others who come, and they are the ones that did the cutting. Delilah actually didn't cut his hair. Thanks, Jabe. But this opened up the door, because she said, oh, are you a Bible teacher, or do you study the Bible? And so, well, they got into a conversation. It turns out she was a believer. And how she came to be a believer was that she was basically cutting hair in Hollywood. She would prepare hair for people that are going to be shot in movies and so on. So she was on the set, and she was the hair person, and made sure the hair was just right when they go on the set. Well, you could imagine the Hollywood lifestyle might not be the most wholesome lifestyle you could imagine. Not quite the level of Turkey Hill here, which is, you know, very just a little bit lower, I think. Anyway, it was a lot lower, and she got involved in the Hollywood lifestyle, which was not a good thing. Eventually, she hit rock bottom, and she thought, there has to be more to life than this. She had a grandmother who had an old Bible somewhere that she went to find. She's figured, I'm going to try and find the meaning of life because there has to be something beyond this. So she got the Bible and read. She read all the way through the Bible. And nothing happened to her. Till she got to the last page of the Bible, and then she suddenly got very afraid. She thought, I've read the whole Bible looking for the meaning of life, and nothing's happened thus far. I only have one page left. If I don't find it on this last page, I don't know where I'm going to look. And she ended up getting saved on the last page of the Bible. She said, let him who is athirst come and drink of the water of life freely. And that's the verse that she was saved on. But how did she find him? She sought. She sought. Now, I thank the Lord that he saved me without my having to go to those lengths. And I think a lot of us here may not have gone to those lengths. But God's promise nonetheless is out there that anyone can seek and find. The lost can seek and find. Atheists can seek and find if they have the right attitude. Believers can also seek and find, not for salvation, but for intimacy. This is applicable to believers. This comes up time and time again in the Word. An example, Psalm 63:1. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. And the verse in James certainly can apply to believers. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Now, how should a person seek? And right now, I'm actually thinking particularly of unbelievers, but certainly we as believers can seek him as well. How does one go about seeking? What does it look like to seek with all one's heart? Well, I gave some stories, but how should somebody seek? If you told somebody who was not a believer to seek, and they said, all right, and they came back to you the next day and say, well, I went in my room, I kind of cleared my head, I kind of relaxed, and I wanted, if God, if this is true, just kind of come. Is that what it looks like? Well, we have biblical guidance for this. First of all, we are to seek in the Word. It doesn't matter if the unbeliever does not believe the Bible. They are to seek in the Bible. John 20:31 is written for unbelievers. It says, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. When you talk to someone who's an unbeliever, they say, I don't believe the Bible. You say, excellent. There is a book of the Bible written just for you. They'll be surprised by that. And then you turn to this verse and you say, look, this book is written so that you would believe, meaning it implies that initially you don't believe. So where do we seek in the Word? And this is exemplified in the people that we saw seeking. Remember that list of five people? This is the Ethiopian eunuch. Where was he seeking God? He was seeking in the Word. The next thing to remember, we'll come to John, by the way, because we have some other verses to read in John. You can jot down 20:31, but come back to John 7. Seeking him in the Word is not enough by itself. There are lots of atheists who have read the Bible just to try to find areas to shoot it down. We have to seek with the right attitude. That is John 7 and verse 17. John 7:17. If anyone wills to do his will, that is, if anyone wants to do God's will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. The idea being the right attitude that says, look, these people out there, they say they know God. I haven't seen God, but I'm willing to give it a shot. There is enough on the surface evidence that there really is a God, and there are enough people telling me that he's really changed their lives that I'm willing to give it an investigation. Now, I don't know if this book is true, and I don't know if Jesus Christ is real, is really the Son of God, but I tell you what, if he is, the Son of God, then I'm going to believe on him. If he's not, well, then I don't want to believe on him. But if he is, and I learn of that, I want to believe on him. That is the right attitude. It is not that somebody says, I want to know if he's the Son of God. There are lots of people who want to know if God is real and want to know if Jesus is the Son of God. Lots of people like that. That's not the requirement. The requirement is the one who wants to do his will. That's different, isn't it? I want to be saved if he's true and real. I want to turn to him. Now, this is exemplified in who? Cornelius and Zacchaeus. They both came with the right attitude. You notice that in both of their lives, before they were saved, they even turned to God with regard to their actions. Zacchaeus was returning money that he had stolen and paid back even more than he had taken. Cornelius was, again, also changing his lifestyle in his seeking of God. They both had the right attitude in seeking. But the next principle is time. And if you look at verse 24, John 7 and verse 24, we get this principle. The Lord says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. Do not judge according to what's appearance. It is immediate appearance, right? Judge righteous judgment. Give it the necessary time needed to judge fairly. And this is exemplified in the wise men and Mary Magdalene. These are people that were diligent. They did not turn away at the first instant of something not going right. They were persistent. They continued on. They would not be denied. Now, why are we going through all of these things? Well, these are important things to know, yes. But we certainly might know people that this applies to, right? I mean, we could talk to people about the Lord and they say, well, I don't believe that. I haven't found God. Other people say they have, but I haven't. And we can talk to them about getting into the Bible and honestly looking and searching and honestly judging. And that may be helpful too. But there is another reason to go through these things. And that is, here again, we young people, maybe the older ones too. But a lot of us as young people go through times where we start to question things. We have a friend who's nagging us. They're an atheist. We read some internet articles, and that's a little dangerous, being out there on the internet. The reason it's dangerous is, by the way, Christians aren't afraid of truth, okay? It's not like we're afraid you're going to learn something out there that we're afraid of, that, ooh, no. The problem with the internet is you can come up with questions faster than they can be answered. Because with a few clicks, you get these hard questions out there, and you're like, wow, these are hard questions. So you go to somebody with the questions, and it's going to take them a few weeks to answer them because they're deep questions. And within the few weeks, you found 50 other questions because they're just clicks away. And so now you have this never-ending pile of questions that accumulates faster than they can be answered. So no, it's not that believers are afraid of the hard questions out there. We aren't. The problem is sometimes when we go on the internet, we don't talk to anybody about them. We start to store them up, and they start eroding our confidence. So a lot of times there are young people who can be going through difficult times like that, and they start to question, how do I know this? Is this true? I'm starting to have difficulties, and sometimes we're just too quiet, kind of too personal kind of people to talk to somebody about it. And this principle applies as well. The believer can seek him. The believer can be diligent in searching for him. A dear brother at our assembly who is now with the Lord, get alone with God is what he would say. Now, the Bible does not promise that those who want to find him will find him. It is those who seek that the promise is made. Come to Matthew 2. We're going to find two people in the Bible who wanted to find the Lord and never did. Now, wait a minute. I said we're going to find two people in the Bible who wanted to find him but never did. Doesn't this contradict what I just said? Didn't I say everyone who seeks would find if they seek him with their whole heart? And now I'm telling you that there are people in the Bible who wanted to find him but did not. How does this make sense? Read it again, right? The condition is not that you want to find him. It is that you seek him with your whole heart. So here are people who did not seek him. Look at Matthew 2 and Herod. Matthew 2 and verse 8. And he sent them to Bethlehem. This is Herod, right? He's talking to the wise men, and he's saying, where is he? Now, did he have the right attitude in terms of why he wanted to find the Lord Jesus? No, he didn't have the right attitude. He wanted to find him to kill him. But then, look what he says in verse 8. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child. And when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. Did Herod want to find the Lord? Yes. Did he seek for him? No. He said, you go do the searching, and when you found him, you come and tell me. And again, to the young people, a lot of times this is what we want from the older ones, right? And if we are having questions about things, we want to say, well, you've done the seeking. You found him. Just pass him along to me. And sometimes God will say, no, no, I want you to seek for me. The next example is the other Herod in Luke 23. This is not the same Herod. This is another Herod. Luke 23, and look down at verse 8. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad, for he had desired for a long time to see him. So, did he want to find the Lord? Yes. Did he ever seek him? No. Now look what happens then. He had heard all of these things and he wanted to see some miracle. Verse 9. He questioned him with many words, but the Lord did not answer him a thing. He wanted to find him, but he never did. And he never sought him. Some encouraging verses for us. Think of David and his attitude. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Other verses, Hosea 5, I will return again to my place till they acknowledge their offense. Then they will seek my face. In their affliction, they will earnestly seek me. And others. The applications are for the unbeliever, and the applications are for the believer as well. May our may we seek him more. I'll just say that. Our Father, we thank you that the offer is open to all, that even though you do engage in selective revelation and reveal yourself to some and not to others, yet you open the offer to everyone, that those who seek with all their heart will indeed find. And we thank you that that's open to the believers as well. We pray that we would be like the psalmist, that we would seek you early. We would seek you early in life. We would seek you early in a day. And we pray that we would seek you rightly and that you would show yourself to us. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.